verses 1 to 6. We'll be here this morning.
Beautiful day today, beautiful sunshine. Thank the Lord for it. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. It says, when you found it, if you could, would you please stand in honor of reading of God's word? Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. And God's word says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6 of the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And verse 6 says this, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. This morning I want to preach on a message simply entitled this, Getting Over the Hump. So a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to preach your word this morning. I pray you give me the words to say. I pray for those who are listening to the sound of my voice, Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to their hearts today. I pray you'd help them, give them what they need. I pray you'd be with our country, be with our state. God, you know, I just pray that you'd bring healing to this land, this coronavirus issue. Lord, I pray this be done abruptly and quickly. And I pray that we'd see healing quickly and the church houses be open and full again. And I pray you'd bless there. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Bless God's people this morning. Give them what they need today. And I pray there always be an eagerness of the people of God to get back in the house of God as soon as they can possibly do so, Lord. And I pray you bless there. We love you and thank you now. Also, we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right, let me get into this morning. When I first, after I first was saved and got into a good gospel preaching church, I remember listening to preaching of Pastor Bish over there in Heritage Baptist Church in Wallingford, Connecticut. I remember one of the first books, or one of my favorite books back in the beginning, and still one of my favorite books, is the book of Judges. You've all heard the cliche, it's all good. All the Bible's wonderful, and I love all of it from cover to cover. But the book of Judges was such a wonderful book to me. There are a couple reasons why I love the book of Judges so much. The first one reason was because of God's amazing mercy, His wonderful, amazing mercy. To explain this, there is something in the book of Judges that I refer to as a yo-yo effect, a yo-yo effect. Let me explain that if I can. Several times in the book of Judges, you'll see that the Israelites will go off into deep sin. Usually they'll get caught up in idolatry, worshiping false idols or adultery or some deep sin like that. Normally idolatry was the culprit. And God would usually, as a result of their sin and putting something before God, God would usually, as punishment or judgment, send an enemy nation to come into the land of Israel and bring the Israelites into bondage for a while. And this is when Israel would be down, if you would. Then the Israelites would cry unto God, say, Lord, we're sorry, please forgive us. We'll put away our idols, we'll get right with you. And I believe they were sincere. And they'd put away their idols, and they would get right with God. And of course, he would then raise up a judge. And this is where you saw his wonderful mercy. He raised up a judge in spite of the fact they did such wrong, and he'd bring a man in who would be the judge, who would kind of rally the troops, if you would, and God would do a miracle through that judge and bring victory, and they would be up now. And of course, they would be free for a while and love their freedom, but as you know, the book of Judges, what happens? They start the cycle all over again. They get caught up in their sin, get caught up in idolatry, and of course, an enemy nation would come in, and they'd be down. So it's up and down, the yo-yo effect. And again, but you see God's continual mercy through all this, always showing mercy. Every time they get caught up in sin and did wrong, God would always send a judge. Praise God for his mercy, friend. If you are saved on your way to heaven, you'd praise God for his precious mercy. We do not deserve heaven. We deserve hell for our sins, but praise God for his grace and for his mercy. The other reason why I love the book of Judges was because of the people whom God used. Folks, these judges were amazing people. One of my favorite guys I loved was Ehud. Ehud was a left-hander. I'm a lefty, so I loved Ehud. We kind of were, had that common bond, if you would. I never met the guy, but we were both had the common bond. We both were lefties, and Ehud was one of the judges. And of course, King Eglon, he was one of the and the enemy nation came and they took over Israel. And Ehud brought a present into the king, and of course, you know the story there. Eglon was a very heavy, overweight man. And Ehud reached his left hand into his right thigh and lifted up the dagger and thrust it into Eglon. Man, no action movie can compete with Ehud in the book of Judges. Man, I loved Ehud. He was an amazing character. I think of, and that was over in Judges 3, I think of Samson. God gave him amazing strength, and God used him to judge the Philistines over there in Judges 13 to 16. And of course, a third judge, which is the focus of our message this morning, and I believe is another amazing judge that God used, was the judge known as Gideon. Gideon. And of course, a normal person whom God used to do the impossible. And praise God, God still uses normal people like you and I to do the impossible through him. He gets all the glory for it, but praise God for his miracles. So again, Gideon, a normal person like you and I, and God did the impossible through him. Now, looking at the life of Gideon, you really need to begin in chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, to really look at what's going on. Gideon is not mentioned these first six verses, but you see here in these verses here that what's going on with the people of Israel. And I'm not going to read them again, but if you look at verse 1, you read that because of Israel going into sin, God sent the Midianites, the enemy nation, in there, and Israel was in bondage for 7 years. That's a long time to be in bondage. 7 years you're in bondage. For 7 years they were, the Midianites took over the people of Israel. And then if you go in verse 2, we read the Midianites came. The Israelites had to leave their homes. They dwelt in caves, in mountains, to keep away from the Midianites. It was not a good time for the people of Israel. They were hurting desperately because of their sin again. Now, if you go down to verse 5, again, I'm paraphrasing. The Midianites were not a small army. They were a large army. In fact, in verse 5, God compares the number of the Midianites to like grasshoppers without number. And if you want to find an exact number, if you go to Judges chapter 8, verse 10, I'll read to you Judges 8, verse 10. It tells you the amount of the Midianites that were came up against Israel. In Judges 8, verse 10, it says this: Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. Two numbers are mentioned: 15,000, 120,000. 120,000 were killed, and by the time you come to Judges 8, verse 10, only 15,000 are left. So you add those two together, 135,000 people, I believe, came up against Gideon and the Israelites here during this time frame. So getting back to Judges chapter 6, in verses 5 to 6, the Midianites had destroyed the land to the point that verse 6 says the Israelites were impoverished. The Midianites ate off the land. They ate all the animals. They ate all the crops. They ate up all the resources that the Israelites had grown. And the point I'm trying to make here is simply this. These Midianites were certainly a force to be reckoned with. And they were coming against Israel. Israel is suffering, again, because of their sin. But the point is, they're still suffering. Now, let me make one more statement, and I'll kind of start heading towards the focus of the message this morning, if I could. Look at Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. Judges 6, verses 11 to 14. I'll read these few verses here. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 14. It says this: And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Okay, so let me kind of touch on these verses here briefly. In verse 12, or I'm sorry, let me just back up. First of all, an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. And in verse 12, he says these words to Gideon, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And he's trying to encourage Gideon. To Gideon, I know things are horrible. I know for 7 years, some of you guys are hiding in caves. You have no food left. You're even threshing wheat yourself because you don't want the Midianites to find it. They're going to eat your food. It's horrible for you. But listen, hey, God's with you. And then in verse 13, Gideon replies to the angel. He says, If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? What he's saying is, angel, if God is really for Israel, if he really wants to bless us, then why is this happening with God allowing the Midianites to come in and destroy our land and oppress us so severely? Now, we understand why. Because remember, in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, it said because of the sin of the people that God brought the Midianites in there. But again, this is what Gideon's feeling. So listen, if God's for us, why is it so severe? How come there's no healing yet, so no deliverance yet? Why is this happening? And then in verse 14, the verse is that God himself now speaking to the Gideon, no longer the angel. It says, And the Lord looked upon him and said, and he says this in verse 14, halfway through the verse, And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. What God is saying here is, I know things are difficult, but I'm going to give you victory to Israel and to you. I promise you, victory is coming, Gideon. Okay, so that's what's going on here. Now, again, let me kind of bring this all together because I'm making a point here. So here you have a situation here. The angel comes, says, Listen, hey, praise God, you're a mighty man of valor. God's with you, Gideon. Gideon says, Angel, if God's really with me, how in the world is all this horribleness happening? And then God replies, saying, Wait a minute, victory's coming. I'm going to bless your land and give you victory. Now here, let me make the application if I can. Just follow me if you would. If you are under the sound of my voice and you are saved, meaning if there was a time and a place when you understood that you were a sinner, not deserving heaven, but deserving hell for your sins, and you realize that only Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on Calvary could be the only way to pay your sin debt and give you an entrance to heaven someday. And if you had asked him, Jesus Christ, to come in your heart as your Savior, then you are saved, meaning you are on the winning side. Okay? If you are saved, you're on the winning side. Just like verse 14, when God told Gideon that in the end God would bring him and Israel to victory, God has also made it clear for us Christians that we too will have victory one day. Remember, God says, Hey, Gideon, victory is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. And what God tells us Christians, Hey, listen, Christian, if you're saved, you're on the winning side. One day you're going to heaven, praise God, it's coming. Look, it's okay to think about heaven. You're not morbid to think about that. That's home. I said it many, many times. It's okay to think about the streets of gold. It's okay to think of the loved ones who have gone before. It's okay to dwell on the fact that, hey, Jesus Christ is preparing the mansions even now for you. It's okay to think about that. It's coming. And God said to Gideon, hey, victory is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. I think in Revelation 22, verse 5, it says this, And there shall be no night there, referring to heaven, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Folks, we're on the winning side. One day we'll be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Praise the Lord. Man, it's coming. I don't know if it'll come today, tomorrow, a year from now, 100 years from now, I have no idea. But it's coming. Just like God promised Gideon a victory, he promised us the eternal victory. Now, however, having said that, there are going to be times in the Christian life, friend, when we're going to say things just like Gideon said in Judges 6:13. If the Lord be with us, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? There will be times we're going to say things like, God, Why are these difficult times happening in my life? Lord, why have you allowed this into my life? Well, I trust you, but I don't know why you allow this. God, why is all this going on in our country? God, why is my life turned upside down right now? Things are completely 180. Why is happening? Hey, I know victory is coming, but why is this happening? And I'm sure all of us have asked questions like that at one time or another. If I can put it like this, my friend, I believe all of us can relate to Gideon because we've all been in his shoes before. No, we've never been in a situation where the Midianites have overtaken us, taken our food, but we've been in situations like Gideon where we've been overwhelmed because a humongous challenge, a hump, if you will, stands before us. That's where Gideon is. He says, God, I know victory's coming. I understand that. But there's a hump right in front of me. Why is this happening? Again, we understand we're born again Christians. Praise God. And I'm not trying to minimize that or criticize that. I guess I'm being honest with you. Maybe I'm the only one that thinks this. I'm sure we've asked questions before. God, why are you allowing this problem in my life? Again, I trust you, Lord. I just don't know why it's happening. You've been there before, friend? Where I try to say, Lord, if you allow me to run things in my life, I would never put this big hump in front of me. Well, this is never going to help me, right? I'm sure we've all been there before. Want to have it easy, right? All green lights, all the flat tires, never flat. You know, plenty of money in the bank account. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can eat all the ice cream that you want. And you'll lose weight. Praise God. Amen. All right, well, you know what I'm saying? Okay, trying to just. All right, moving on here. All right, so my point is, we can relate to Gideon. And again, we understand we're on the winning side of we're saved, but we say, listen, God, I don't know why this is going on in my life. What is this going to solve? And sometimes we're just stuck. We're just stuck. We have this big problem in front of us, and we're frozen like deer staring at headlights. Nothing has been resolved yet. And you know, listen, with Gideon, God had told him that he would give him the victory, but he was still living as a prisoner in his own land, having little food and life being second rate because of the Midianites. He understood what God was saying, but he was still dealing with problems. He wasn't over the hump yet. So let me give you a few things this morning to help you in this matter of getting over the hump. Getting over the hump. Number one, there's a few thoughts here this morning. Number one. God gives us reminders to get us over the hump. God gives us reminders to get us over the hump. Go look at Judges chapter 6, verse 36 to 40. Judges chapter 6, verse 36 to 40. This is a very unique thing that happened with Gideon. Judges 6, 36 to 40. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and thou, as thou hast said, behold, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So here, briefly, what's going on here? Here in these verses, Gideon, he asked God to show him if he was supposed to be the one to lead Israel against the Midianites. And the first thing Gideon says is, he says, God, listen, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up. When usually I wake up in the morning, there's wet dew all on the ground. But I want you to do something amazing. I want you to make all the ground dry. But I'm going to put a wool fleece on the ground as well. And when I wake up, all the ground will be dry. But please, God, if you want me to lead Israel, let only that woolen fleece be wet. The next day he wakes up, the ground is dry under his feet, but he picks up that woolen fleece, and it probably weighs 1,000 pounds. It's soaking wet with water to the point when he wrings that fleece out, a bowl full of water fills up below him because it's so saturated with water. That same night, he asked a second time of God, God, do the same thing, but vice versa. When I wake up tomorrow, let the whole ground be wet with dew, and only that woolen fleece be dry. The next morning, he wakes up, and exactly what happens. The ground is wet, but the fleece is dry. Now listen, the reason I say this is a reminder, because every day from that point forward, when he thinks back, he always can think back to what God had done, and God reminded, he's a reminder, God showed me, proved to me, that he's going to give me victory, so I trust him. Now, what does God do for us as Christians? How does he give us reminders to get us over the hump? And it's right here, my friends, called the Word of God. Let me show you some reminders that God has for us to help us when we're in a difficult situation, when you get over the hump. Look at Psalm 34, verse 4. I think this is a great reminder. You need to get over the hump. You're stuck. You need some help from God. Something to remind you that you're not alone. Remind you that God can help you. Psalm 34, verse 4. Great one to help you. Just circle it and memorize it or put it on an index card. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Listen, Christian, if you are living right and you're going through a difficult time, that verse reminds us when we pray, God hears us. That's huge. You might think, Pastor, how does it help me? The God of heaven hears you. It's not fall on deaf ears. And by the way, I love the verse. It doesn't say he delivered me from my problems. He delivered me from my fears. So the problem might not be resolved, but you have the comfort, the encouragement, that deliverance came from your fears. And God has heard you. Not falling on deaf ears. Look at verse 19, another one, Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. His word reminds us that afflictions will come to the righteous. Many will come. We're going to have many problems. God made it very clear and very plain there. But the Lord delivers us, or delivereth him out of them all. Deliverance will come from every problem in his time, in his way. That's another great verse to help you. Psalm 34, 19. You should circle that. I use that so many times in my personal life. So many times I use that verse. Lord, I know problems will be many. You made it very clear. You weren't trying to lie to me or trick me. You said you're very upfront with me. Thank you. But I also know that deliverance will come from every single one of those problems. That's a good one to help you. Let me give you one more. Psalm 119, verse 50. Psalm 119, verse 50. This is a good one referring to the Bible itself. A reminder how the Bible itself can help you. We saw that prayer. Hey, you call upon God, he answers you. We saw that, hey, Christian, you're trying to live right. You're righteous, trying to do right by God. Deliverance will come from every single affliction. In Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Just quoting his word quickens us or encourages us, and that is a comfort. Folks, there's something about taking this Bible and just reading it. There's something about taking this Bible and just quoting it over and over again. Just the words of God are a comfort to us. Listen, many of us have been in situations before where we were in some desperate need for good advice because we were in a tight spot. And maybe we went to somebody we could trust who could help us, and they gave us some good advice. And just hearing good advice from somebody else made us feel better. And so many times I would go to help from, I need some help from somebody, and they gave me good advice. I used illustrations so many times; it's been a comfort to me. When I was back there in Wallingford, Connecticut, I got laid off from my job. I went there, soul winning that night. Went to Brother Reamers, Tim Reamers, said, Brother Reamers, listen, I lost my job. He said, pray for me. He said, listen, Brother Minkowski, it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. That's all he said. And that's all I needed to hear. That was a great comfort. It's amazing when you get good, solid advice. And God's word is the best advice you can get. Just read it. Just reading it will be a comfort to you. So, again, God gives reminders to get us over the hump. Are you struggling? Are you going through a difficult situation? Are you facing a big hump, a problem? Just get his word. Get in it. Just read it. It will help you. Use verse Psalm 34:19. Those will help you. Or Psalm chapter 34 and verse 4. That's another one that will help you. Again, and I haven't scratched the surface of all the verses that God can give you in His precious Word. So number one, God gives us reminders to get us over the hump. Number two, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you now, sometimes it goes from bad to worse before you get over the hump. Sometimes it goes from bad to worse before you get over the hump. I know that's not too encouraging, but bear with me if you would. Look at Judges chapter 7, verse 7. Judges 7, verse 7. It says this, "The Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go every man unto his place." Okay. Now, if you were to go back to verse 3, before I comment on verse 7, if you go back to verse 3, let me read verse 3 to you, Judges 7, verse 3. This is God talking to Gideon again. "Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. All right, so let me quote on verse, comment on verse 3 here. In verse 3, again, if you do the math, Gideon started out with 32,000 soldiers to help him fight the fight against the Midianites. But by the time we come to verse 7, which we just read, he is down to 300 soldiers. It goes from 32,000 men to 300 men. And if you remember, I mentioned in the beginning of the message, there were 135,000 enemy soldiers who were coming against the Israelites. And the Israelites, who had 32,000 men, are down to 300. Picture Gideon. You're Gideon now. You're a general. You're leading Israel. You know you got 135,000 men. You're trying to do your best to strategize. Okay, I got 32,000 men. I'm going to go against the people, against the Midianites. How am I going to win this thing? God's waiting to stop. Stop, Gideon. I don't want you to use 32,000 men. I want you to use 300 men. I picture Gideon scratching his head, "Wait a minute, Lord. That didn't really help me too much. From 32,000 men down to 300 men." And again, he went from bad to worse. But my friend, listen, don't miss this. Just because things don't appear to be going the right way doesn't mean that God is not in control. Look at Judges 7, verse 7 again. If you verse 7, he says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lap will I save you. God does not need anyone to get us out of a problem. He can do it himself. Don't forget that. And just because things go from bad to worse, which no one appreciates, I understand that, does not mean that God's not in control. We still need to trust God. Psalm 34, verse 8 says this, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Friend, you are blessed if you simply trust God. Trusting God is not lip service. I trust you. Trusting God is action. Because I trust you, I'm going to live like I trust you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do right by you. That's trusting God. So number one, God gives us reminders to get us over the hump. Number two, sometimes, my friend, it's going to go from bad to worse before you get over the hump. But don't get discouraged. God is still in control. And last one, I'm done with this. Number three. God will often give us people to help us get over the hump. God will often give us people to get us over the hump. Look at Judges chapter 7, verses 9 to 15. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord had said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And verse 14 says this, And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And finally, verse 15 says this, And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host, into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. All right, now follow me if you would. In verse 10, God is aware that Gideon is falling apart. Gideon, he has 300 guys. He's facing 135,000 enemy soldiers, and he's probably shaking in his boots. And please, don't criticize Gideon if he was, because if you were had that situation like that, you'd probably do the same exact thing, my friend. And I know that because in verse 10, God says this to Gideon, But if thou fear to go down, what he's saying is, Gideon, listen, I'm going to deliver you this night, but if you're scared to death, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to do something to help you to keep going on, not quitting for God. And in verses 10 to 11, God tells Gideon to sneak down to the Midianite camp with his servant Phurah, and God says, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to use the words of somebody else to be an encouragement to you. And that's exactly what happened. And while Gideon, he sneaks down to the enemy camp, he hears one of the Midianites, an enemy, telling his other Midianite soldier a dream he had. And he's talking to the other Midianite soldier, has no idea that Gideon is listening, only earshot away. And the Midianite soldier says to the other friend of his, another Midianite soldier, in verse 14, he says this, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his host. What he is saying, here's Gideon shaking in his boots, scared to death because he knows in a couple hours him and 300 guys are going to take on 135,000. And God says, go down to the enemy. Yes, go down there, Gideon. Just go, just do what I say. And I want you to sneak down there. Don't let them know you're there. And just listen. And he goes down, and he hears one of the enemy Midianite soldiers saying, I'm paraphrasing. He says, listen, bud. Talking to his fellow Midianite soldier. He says, listen. Last night I had this crazy dream. I know I ate too much pepperoni pizza, which causes crazy dreams, but I had a crazy dream last night. And in my dream, I pictured a piece of bread just kind of floating in the breeze, if you would. And I knew when I woke up, that dream was telling me that God was going to deliver us in the hands of Israel. We're going to lose this thing. I know we're 135,000 men, but we're going to be destroyed. Gideon's going to win. Now listen, that's what Gideon needed. He needed someone to encourage him. Folks, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, iron sharpeneth iron. All of us need to be encouraged. And it's good to have godly friends and loved ones to be that encouragement for you. There's some of you folks, you are blessed today. You're doing well because God has brought a godly person into your life who has encouraged you to keep going on for God. I'll be honest with you. I'll be very transparent with you. I don't like the fact that we're in a situation where our churches are empty because of this coronavirus. I understand what they're doing. I get it. I'm not trying to criticize or minimize our medical people. Are trying to keep people away at home to keep the virus at bay. I get all that. I'm not trying to criticize that. I'm not a doctor. I'm not trying to say anything negative towards that. I'm just being very transparent with you. I hate the fact that God's people aren't in church because of this whole virus issue. I wish it'd be gone. I wish it would be gone tomorrow. But I cannot tell you how many of God's people have encouraged me. I got a text message from a friend of mine last Saturday. He said, Hey, Brother Minkowski, there is a prayer meeting that goes on every night at 7:30, Monday to Saturday. It's a bunch of preachers, evangelists, godly people get on this prayer chain. You call the number, you type in a code, it's like a network, a group chat thing, and you can hear people praying for about a half hour to heal the nation. And what an encouragement. I had people yesterday text me saying, Hey, listen, God will help take care. He'll bless you. This morning, I got a text message from another brother of mine, a friend of mine, another brother in Christ, said, hey, listen, God's in control. He'll take care. Hey, encouragement. We need that. God knew what Gideon needed. Remember, he said to Gideon back here, he said, Gideon, listen, he said, but if thou fear to go down, he says, Gideon, I know you might be afraid. And God knew Gideon was fearful. He made Gideon. God formed us. He knows how we operate. I know you're scared. So listen, I want to help you. Just go down to the enemy camp. I know that makes sense. Just go to the enemy and listen for a while, and you'll be encouraged. That's exactly what happened. Because look at verse 15, what Gideon says. End of verse 15, he says this. At the end of verse 15, arise, the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Does that sound like someone who's discouraged? No. What happened? All it took was God putting Gideon in a spot where he heard someone talk and just give him confirmation and encouragement that, you know what, God's going to deliver you. That will get you over the hump. This is the most important thing to you, is God's word to help you. But God will use people, like I mentioned earlier and I mentioned now, to get you over the hump. I'm done this morning. I'll wrap it up. Right now, some of you folks could be in a situation where life is not pleasant, and you need some help from God. Listen, hey, God knows your heart. As far as I know, Gideon didn't tell a whole bunch of people that he was scared to death. And as far as I know, he barely told nobody. Yet God knew Gideon was scared, and he said, listen, go down, you'll get some help. God knows when you're hurting, my friend. He does. He's very well aware. He knows when you're struggling. You're well aware of that. And some of you folks could be staring at a hump right now. You just want to get over that hump on the other side of it. Stay in God's word. Please, please, stay in God's word. It gives you so many wonderful reminders and tips to help you get through and not forget that God is in control. Read it, love it, live it. The precious word of God. And listen, even if things go from bad to worse, don't quit. Don't quit. Things could go from bad to worse in this country. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, next week. I have no idea. I'm not a fortune teller. I have no idea what the future is. But God does, and you trust Him. He's in control. And then just know that God will oftentimes send people your way to sustain you and get you over that hump. And by the way, if you know how the story ends with Gideon, God did give the victory to Gideon with 300 men. And pretty much what happened was they killed very few. It was pretty much I don't give the whole story there, but you can read it there in Judges. But most of how the story ends, where they just opened that light and they yelled for the sword of the Lord and for Gideon. I'm paraphrasing that verse there. And those Midianites went on, pretty much killed themselves because of fear and panic. God delivered Israel out of the hand of the Midianites. Just trust the Lord. He'll bring victory to you. And so, folks, listen. If you're saved, you're on the winning side. You know where you're going. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're saved, you know one day you're going to have a home in heaven. But we also understand, until we get there, there's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be difficult times. So what are you going to do when you face those humps? Don't quit. Just stay in this. Stay in this. And when things go from bad to worse, stay in this. And God will not only give you this, which is the most important thing, but also send godly people to help you. My prayer is God bring healing to this country. And when that happens, when the order is lifted, we can have the churches filled again. And my prayer is when God's people get back and assemble again together, be encouraged one with another, sharpen each other spiritually. Because God does that. He uses godly people to encourage godly people. Let me ask you all, bow your heads and close your eyes if you would this morning.